Good evening. You on? Good evening and welcome. Is that on? Are you in here? Okay. Now I hear it. Good evening and welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for Monday, January 27th, 2014. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to serve and conduct this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with an invocation by Dr. Brent Baker of the First Presbyterian Church, after which we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Scout S.E. Chavez of Troop 334. Please rise for the invocation and pledge.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly ask wisdom and strength of character to those who assemble here today as they deal with issues of governance, both complex and mundane. We give thanks, O Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to participate in your work of building community. And we give thanks for those in leadership and ask that you would bless their skills and gifts. Bless the elected officials, bless our tireless civic employees and our citizenry as we all go about the task before us. So, Lord, upbuild your city and its people. May it be a wholesome and nurturing place to live and to work, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Yesterday, we as a community celebrated a pretty incredible event. And I think an accomplishment for this community that's been many years in the making. And I'd like to turn the time over to Council Member Dave Richens to give us a little report on something happened in your district.
Sure. I know your days are running together, but it was actually Saturday.
That's right. Yeah, Saturday, not Sunday.
I hear you're busy doing things now. So, anyway, I wanted to give a heartfelt thank you to probably starting with our public information office and all the hard work they did pulling that event together, but parks and transportation, police and fire, and I mean, the list goes on. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, and I'll get a snarky text message about it later. But thank you for the hard work you did for a spectacular rollout for our new Cub Stadium, and for even more exciting for me was the park that went in. It was neat to see kids just everywhere, and adults and teenagers all playing together there and having a great time. I saw nothing but smiling faces. The only complaints I heard was the lines were too long at the bouncy houses. So that's not a bad thing, I don't think. And I think all of our food vendors sold out of food. And so everybody had a really good time, and it's neat to see Mesa in a position where we're leading again. We're leading the valley in innovating. And the comment I thought I read somewhere, I can't remember if it was the newspaper article or not, but some kid remarked, "This is the park of the future," and it really is. It's the park of the future. So a big hand of applause, a round of applause for all those that helped out. So thank you. And if you haven't seen it yet, go down to Riverview Park, go climb that 50-foot climber. The view is spectacular. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, both those projects supported overwhelmingly by Mesa voters. Thank you very much. The park was going to be a nice park, but through iMesa and that process, it became, I think, a step one, giant step upward to be a spectacular park. And I liked it because everyone had seen the stadium going up, but nobody had really seen the park because you couldn't really see it if you drove down Rio Salado or Dobson. And so when they came in and actually saw the lake and saw the playground area and everything, it was new for everyone. So that was pretty exciting. So thank you for that report. Next, we have a very special guest here and that are need to be recognized. When I turn over to Councilmember Chris Glover.
Thank you, Mayor. Former Jackrabbit, I am really proud and honored to recognize.
Nice. Former Jackrabbit?
I am a former Jackrabbit.
No, once a Jackrabbit, always a Jackrabbit.
I'm extremely proud and honored to honor Mesa High School's marching band on their outstanding national achievements. Last December, Mesa High's marching band made its first appearance on the national stage, and I would say it was a great first appearance. The band, with only 94 of its members, won the Holiday Bowl's Field Show Championship, earning them the opportunity to perform not only during the halftime show, but also during the pregame celebration. Impressively, Mesa High not only placed first in the field show competition overall, but also won each individual category. To add to their success, Mesa's band also won an award at the Big Bay Balloon Parade, which took place in downtown San Diego. The parade had over 100,000 street-side spectators, not to mention all the viewers on TV. I'd like to recognize both Robert Brooks and Jeff Cuomo for their great achievements as band directors of the Mesa High Jackrabbit Band, as well as the proud and very supportive band booster parents. So give yourselves a round of applause. I'd like to invite Mr. Brooks up to say a few words if you'd like to.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Behind me. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for inviting us to be here and recognizing the band on their accomplishments. Really, this was just one of many accomplishments that the band has received and will continue to receive along the way of our pursuit of excellence. We also, I've lived in Mesa now for going on 7 years. I've taught in Arizona, Montana, Nevada. And when I moved here, I moved here because I got married and my wife lived here. And Mesa High School was the school that was open. And the first day of band camp, there were 35 kids. The band program had really fallen on hard times and was really struggling. But the first day I asked the kids, what is this school all about? And they didn't even have to think about it. It was about tradition. And I was looking for anything that we could build on, anything that was positive that we could build on. They said tradition, and I don't know if it's true, but they also told me that that Mesa High School was the oldest high school in Arizona. And I've been really proud to be able to lead the group. There are six high schools in our district, and only one that gets to carry the name of our city. Even in years where they've been not very big or not very good, there's only one Mesa High School, and we've really, really worked hard to make you proud of us. That has been one of the central things about our and motivating things about our band program. Our successes are not just due to my work with the kids. The kids work extremely hard, extremely hard. But we also have parents who put in endless hours of faith and my vision for the program. And we have a great principal who I think is blindingly quick, and we're very, very lucky to have him at Mesa High School. The kids have been very easy to work with, and I talk to them not just about winning or losing or putting on a great performance, but about becoming the kinds of people that have qualities that they can share with others as they get into positions like that, like you, that you have worked hard in your individual disciplines, and because of that, because of the discipline that you've gained in your pursuit of education, you have something to offer the whole community. And the band is a community, and we really talk a lot about those kinds of things, that any gift that we have and that we cultivate, the only good reason to have that is so that we can share it with others. And so I just want to say thank you again on the part of Mesa High School Band and Jeff Cuomo, my assistant. And he really is fantastic. He does an outstanding job. And so Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. And on behalf of myself and the Mesa City Council, we want to congratulate you on this award and also on being the state champs for the last 2 years running. And yeah, we just want to recognize your tremendous accomplishments, and you're very, you make us proud here in Mesa, so thank you.
Thank you.
Can we get the band students, the parents and the booster clubs, the principal to come down? We'd like to take a photo with.
I got to ask you one question. One of my a great movie is Mr. Holland's Opus. Boy, you're laughing. And you know, that, it's a great story of how someone shared their really connection with music. And darned if you don't look a lot like Richard Dreyfuss, I'll tell you. In that movie. And that's good. That was meant as a compliment, by the way.
Oh.
I think.
Okay. Well, okay.
But you've accomplished what he did, and that it's great to take something and build it into something great, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Congratulations, Peter.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Councilman Glover, and thank you to Mesa High. I'd like to turn the time over to Councilman Richens for one other announcement or recognition.
Just real quick, I wanted to note the passing of Blaine Camard, longtime District 1 resident, Mesa resident, former president of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. He passed away last weekend. He was also one of the 14 men elected to the Board of Freeholders that wrote our city charter. I don't think there's a lot of them left around. I think maybe one or two that are still alive. But his funeral was held on Saturday. But I just wanted to note that he was a longtime supporter of Mesa and loved this community very much. And I just wanted to mention him. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, this last really year and a half has been almost devastating for Mesa. We've lost, and I lost count, it's half a dozen or more of community stalwarts who came from that same generation as Blaine did and who helped take the city from where it was, which is a good community, and really helped transform it into a great community. And in some way, you know, this is life, but it's really sad to see the generation I grew up with when I was the same age as those, you know, Vice Mayor and I, we grew up with Blaine Camard, and then as the leaders, they were sitting up on this dais and they were leading, and it's a little hard to see that whole generation passing away, and so we celebrate their life, but are still saddened by their passing. So thank you for reminding us of that. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, which will be read into the record by Kevin Christopher. Kevin.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for St. Timothy Catholic Church, one-day charitable event, Saturday, February 15th, 1730 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for commemorative Air Force Air Base Arizona, one-day charitable event, Saturday, February 8th, 2017, North Greenfield Road. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Sunny World, 4906 East Main Street. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Chicago Cubs Baseball Club, 2330 West Rio Salado Parkway. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for Fresh and Easy, 2758 South Crisman Road. Item 4A, act on contract to purchase two light-duty pickup trucks and one cargo van for the Development and Sustainability Department. The two pickups are funded by the Capital General Fund. The cargo van's funded by the Environmental Compliance Fee. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase one replacement heavy-duty dump truck for the Transportation Department. This purchase is funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund. Item 4C, act on three-month extension and dollar limit increase to the term contract for custodial services for secured city buildings as requested by facilities maintenance. Item 4D, act on three-month extension and dollar limit increase to the term contract for custodial services for non-secured city buildings as requested by facilities maintenance. Item 4E, act on contract for annual maintenance and repairs for two submersible pumps for the Flow Rider at Rhodes Aquatic Complex as requested by the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 4F, act on contract to purchase a new gas chromatograph triple quadrupole mass spectrometer to replace a leased system for the police department. This purchase is grant funded by the Governor's Office of Highway Safety and by Capital General Funds. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase four new SQL server licenses for the police department. Item 4H, act on contract to purchase two additional 911 call-taking Intrado position-prone systems for the Regional Public Safety Dispatch Center as requested by the Fire and Medical Department. Item 4I, act on contract to purchase automated field detection sensors. Funding's available by federal congestion mitigation and air quality improvement program management grants and local funds provided by the 2008 Streets Bonds. Item 4J, act on contract for sidewalk replacement at the Dobson Road Railroad Crossing. Funding is from ADOT through a railroad highway grade crossing grant. Item 4K, act on contract for Dobson Road bicycle and pedestrian route improvements, Broadway Road to Main Street. Funding is provided through a federal grant using congestion mitigation and air quality funds. Item 5A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to accept a grant made available through an award from Cities of Service to support the revitalization of neighborhoods. Item 5B, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to accept funding for the reimbursement of police personnel overtime expenses relating to a joint law enforcement operations task force. These funds are made available through a memorandum of understanding with the United States Marshal Service. Item 5C, act on resolution declaring the city's intent to issue transportation project advancement notes to advance the Gilbert Road light rail extension, establishing financial parameters relating to the transportation project advancement notes, and authorizing the taking of all actions necessary to prepare for City Council consideration of documents necessary for the issuance and sale of transportation project advancement notes. Item 6A has been continued to the March 3rd Council meeting. Item 6B, act on Ordinance Z13-058, the 2000 block of North Sossaman Road and the 7600 block of East McKellips Road, located at the northeast corner of Sossaman Road and McKellips Road, modification of a planned area development to reduce setback requirements for lots in a residential subdivision. Item 6C has been continued to the February 10th Council meeting. Item 6D has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6E, act on ordinance amending sections 10-4-4 and 10-4-5 of the Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 7A, act on subdivision plat Valencia Heights, 125 South Val Vista Drive, located north and east of East Broadway Road and South Val Vista Drive. Item 7B, act on subdivision plat Bella Via, parcel 13, the 5200 to 5300 blocks of South Mountain Road, and the 5200 to 5300 blocks of South Via Toscano, located south and west of Ray Road and South Mountain Road. Item 7C, act on subdivision plat Eastmark 7-50, the 5000 block of South Eastmark Parkway, and the 5000 block of South Inspirion Parkway, located west of Signal Butte Road and north of Ray Road. Item 7D, act on subdivision plat Encore at Eastmark, parcel 9-1, the 10,000 to 10,100 blocks of East Ray Road and the 5,300 to 5,400 blocks of Eastmark Parkway, located south and west of Signal Butte and Ray Roads. Item 7E, act on subdivision plat Encore at Eastmark, parcel 9-2, the 10,200 to 10,400 blocks of South Encore Drive and the 5,400 to 5,500 blocks of South Eastmark Parkway, located south and east of Ray Road and Crisman Road. Item 7F, act on subdivision plat the estates at Eastmark, parcel 8-1, the 10,100 to 10,300 blocks of East Ray Road, and the 5,300 to 5,400 blocks of South Eastmark Parkway. This is located south and west of Signal Butte and Ray Roads. Item 7G, act on subdivision plat, the estates at Eastmark, parcel 8-2, the 10,300 to 10,400 blocks of East Ray Road, located south and east of Ray Road and Crisman Road. Item 7H, act on subdivision plat, the estates at Eastmark, parcel 8-3, the 10,300 to 10,600 blocks of East Ray Road, located south and east of Ray Road and Crisman Road. Item 7I, act on subdivision plat, the estates at Eastmark, parcel 8-4, the 5,400 to 5,500 blocks of South Eastmark Parkway, located south and east of Ray Road and Crisman Road. And item 7J, act on subdivision plat, map of dedication, Oasis Street, the 2,800 to 2,900 blocks of North Oasis Street, located north and west of McDowell Road and Sossaman Road. Mayor and council members, these are the items in the consent agenda.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Is there any item a member of the council would like to remove from the consent agenda? We have a request from the audience to remove item 5C in addition to 6D, which was already removed by the council. So item 5C will be removed from the consent agenda also. And also, Mr. Duplisson. Item 6C is being continued. Okay, so we'll just leave it on there for a continuance. It will not take action on it at all. Okay, all righty. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda by Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Glover. Is there any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0, and the consent agenda is approved. The next item is item 5C, declaring the city's intent to issue transportation project advancement notes to advance the Gilbert Road Light Rail Extension, establishing financial parameters relating to the transportation project advancement notes, and authorizing the taking of all action necessary to prepare the City Council consideration the documents necessary for the issuance and sale of transportation project advancement notes. We have one request to speak from Mr. Richard Tracy. Mr. Tracy? Tracy, as you know, since you've been here before, 3 minutes, and thank you very much.
Right. I did expect to have about 20 minutes, so I did put something in writing, which I hope the council gets an opportunity to review. Some of you were in high school when these items were published. Number one, congratulations on the baseball diamonds. It is great, and it's a move forward in the right place. And that's one of the reasons that I'm here to talk to you tonight, because some things are not put in the right place. Your city attorney will remember I was here fighting to put the Cardinal Stadium at Riverview and had to fight to get the mall in there. Sometimes good decisions are not made, and ending the light rail in Mesa is not a good decision. It, of course, has already been put in stone with $500,000 given to the feasibility study, and I'm aware of that. But all you've been hearing, and that's all that you do hear, are the pros. You never get a chance to learn the bad side of some of these things. If Mesa goes it alone, somebody in Chandler may fire up like Mayor Smith has, and get the route changed from Tempe to the airport, because that's where it should be headed. And you're adding 15 minutes and about 6 miles out of the way to get to the airport. I worked 5 years to get the airport name changed so that it would be an economic engine. We lost two of the airlines. Light rail is a big factor for the Phoenix airport, and they just put a $2 million railing in there. If we were going to the airport, I think we could get federal money to pay for that light rail. We didn't have a vote on the light rail. If the light rail is diverted, you know, it's like 70% of that fare for the passenger is paid by the taxpayer. That's not been thought of. Now, I don't want to spend all this time, but I do want to mention that in here I have materials about courts, because we had a big court project, criminal. It was on the agenda. In 05, they took the money that had been voted by the county for a big complex on the same area that we have the Superior Court Annex, to put a large industrial-type facility in there, which would have provided jobs, provided activities. That money was taken away. They used $11 million to buy the property, and it sits vacant at the present time. And there are things that slide by. Also, of course, I do want to talk about the photo radar. I mentioned the light
Yeah, I understand photo radar, but photo radar isn't the item on the agenda. But we thank you.
Well, and this really is a past issue too that I'm talking about. You've already voted on, but the things to think about, and I have the material. Fast and Furious, they think of that as gun running in Mexico, but that's been your spending for the past 2 or 3 years. Fast and Furious, the consequences I may not be here to face. But there are economic issues reviewed here that gives us something to worry about.
Thank you. We're
not
going to
always be breaking all these automobiles. Sooner or later, it's going to go like the TV industry and be cut in half. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tracy. Okay, do we have any other, no other speakers? I'll entertain a motion on item 5C. We have a motion from Councilmember Glover to approve, a second from Councilmember Richens. Any discussion? Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I'd like to at least address a few comments. Certainly, I agree with Mr. Tracy that we would like to have rail service extend out to Gateway Airport and ASU Polytechnic. And in my mind, this is one of the steps that we take to get there, to extend light rail to Gilbert Road. Gives us the opportunity to turn south either there or at another location along Main Street to go south to get to the airport. Quite a number of years ago, when US 60 was being widened, the city worked with the Arizona Department of Transportation to create a transportation corridor along US 60. To accommodate light rail, if we were able to bring it south, bring it out to go to ASU Poly. So what we're doing tonight is not inconsistent with, I think, one of Mr. Tracy's goals to extend rail service out there. It's not an easy process. It's a time-consuming and costly process. But this extension to Gilbert Road, I think, makes it much more probable that in the future we'll be able to bring light rail service or commuter rail service, down to Gateway Airport. Thank you.
Thank you. One thing I'd just like to say, just so people understand, these notes are to be paid back with voter-approved funds as part of Prop 400. And so these are funds that were already being collected by the regional, on a region-wide basis, were allocated to Mesa, and this is just a mechanism that we're using to affect this construction. Mesa's budget will not be used to pay this back. They will be covered with Prop 400 regional funds. Just want to clarify that to make sure we understand. Okay, there's no further discussion. Please vote. The vote is 7-0, and the motion carries. The next item is item 6D, amending Title 11, Chapter 86, Commercial Use Classification, regarding the definition of vacation homes as a commercial land use activity and the listing of vacation homes as a permitted land use in residential zoning districts. Mr. Sheffield, you want to get up and give just a quick, I know we talked about it downstairs in study, but for those who were not down there, just to get a quick background of this and why this is here where we are, where we have it today.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, council members. The proposed amendment that you have before you is the result it's here because there was an interpretation that was made of the zoning ordinance last June. We made a determination that under the present language in the zoning ordinance, vacation homes are considered a prohibited use. However, contrary to that, the city had been issuing transient lodging tax licenses for vacation homes, and there's like 67 or so of these types of facilities in there. So where we had a conflict in city policy between what we were collecting taxes, but we were prohibiting the land use. We brought that to the attention of the city council in September, and you directed us to go forward with a code amendment, pretty much with the language that we have presently in the code, that would amend the zoning ordinance to authorize it as a land use subject to an administrative use permit that would be done over the counter. For a relatively nominal cost, we would register that location. In addition to that, we would require the issuance of the transient lodging tax license that would be issued through the tax and license department. And we presented that to the Planning and Zoning Board. Planning and Zoning Board recommended approval of that, I believe, on a 6-1 or a 5-2 vote, I forget which. And so that's the amendment that you had before you today.
Great, thank you. We have several requests to speak on this. We'll begin with Carolyn Robertson. Carolyn? And Carolyn, thank you for being here. And if you'd like to state for the record your name and address, please. Thank you.
My name is Carolyn Robertson. I reside at 2355 North Pyrite in Mesa, and I'm a resident of Boulder Mountain Highlands. I do not live next to one of the vacation homes, so I just need to put that on the record first. I'm here to oppose the change in the code. First of all, I don't think the council has enough information. It's been stated repeatedly, both in your memos earlier today at the study session and just now, that there are only 67 vacation homes in Mesa. I would encourage you, you have your laptops in front of you, to do a very simple search, and within 30 seconds or less, you'll be able to see that there are 317 homes in Mesa that are currently being listed as homes for rent by the night, by the week, and by the month. I'm going to say that that's a significant problem. The fact that you don't have complaints and that you only have registered one complaint really means that we don't know who and where and when and how to make the complaint to. When a complaint is made to the fire to the police department to come in, they go be nice, they turn around and leave. They don't even file the paperwork. I would suggest that you have not done due diligence in terms of assessing how this is going to impact the city of Mesa. I think you need to go out, look at your neighborhood council groups, and ask them what they have been experiencing in terms of a problem. You've said that Mesa is a great community. I agree. You've said that you feel that Mesa should lead the valley. I agree. So if you make this change, how are you going to assure that the transients that are using these homes are going to be protected by health and safety? Are you going to guarantee their safety by having and mandating evacuation plans so these transients know how to get out of a home in case of a fire? Are you going to mandate safe egress so that these transients can leave a home that's a two-story home that has no egress from the second floor? Are you going to mandate that the pools are gated, locked, that the pools are listed so that the depth is clearly stated and known? We mandate that for our hotels. Are you going to mandate that the pools have safety equipment, that they have first aid equipment, that they have Coast Guard approved safe life-saving devices? So if a child falls into a pool, Mesa isn't going to be known as the town that kills children that come to visit. Are you going to mandate that health and safety is going to be mandated? How are clothes, how are the linens going to be treated? They're supposed to be sanitized if it's a hotel. What are you going to do to safeguard the people who come to use those homes? What are you going to do in terms of these properties now that are commercial? Are you going to tax them as commercial properties? Are you even going to regulate how many nights that they're using, they're being used as transient homes? What are the standards in terms of real estate taxes, commercial taxes? What's the impact going to be in terms of garbage use? What's the impact going to be in terms of property? Forget about me as a community resident that moved into an area that was gated so I'd know my neighbors. I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about the city of Mesa and how the city of Mesa is going to fare both as a community of residents who pay their taxes and as a community who welcomes people in. Having homes that are leased out on a nightly basis without safety requirements, without mandates, without teeth, is an insult to everyone who comes to Mesa. And I would be embarrassed to have Mesa known as someone or as a place to come that doesn't protect their guests. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carolyn. Next, Sandra Riley. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read it. I apologize for that. As a matter of fact, there are several who submitted cards who did not want to speak. Sandra Riley, Richard Riley. Sandra is opposed. Richard Riley is opposed. Geraldine Lieberman is opposed. Walter Robertson is opposed. Harold Lieberman is opposed. And Harry Blaker is opposed. I think I got them all. Okay. Councilmember Luna.
To her HOA, whether she's a poster HOA to talk to them about their CCNRs relative to vacation home rentals and how the HOA is dealing with that situation.
The HOA feels that their hands are tied.
I apologize. Yes, can you come back? I should.
Our president is here.
You were so passionate. I didn't want to break your exit. You had a grand exit there. But there were probably a couple questions.
Our HOA is frustrated. Our CCNRs right now say that we cannot allow homes that break code to have business. So right now, we could, and we're evaluating it, put against the 7 homes. And I will tell you that a year ago we had 4 homes. Today we have 7 homes. This is something that is kind of just developing legs. And I, you know, if you turn this in and say it's okay that they can come in and do it for one day, I can see that half my community is going to turn into these vacation homes that are unregulated. I mean, I'm serious. I'm really concerned about health and safety. But the CCNRs, the way we have them today, is that if somebody is against code, we can use our CCNRs against them. However, one vacation home owner said, I'll take you to court. He's threatened us. He said, I'll take you to court. Our cash reserves are not deep. We're not going to be able to fight this. So you said earlier in the study session, let the CCNRs take care of it. We don't have the deep pockets to take care of it. We need legislation to take care of it.
Are there any other questions for, I think you said do you have any more questions, Councilman Luna?
No, the other thing I do is I feel the frustration. I know that I've received a number of emails relative to the ordinance. My premise is I think it needs further study, and we need to evaluate. There are some interesting points that Kellen brought up, and I think we need to evaluate that before we move for approval of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you. So any more questions or discussion? Councilman Richens?
Yeah, as we were talking about last night, I understand that there's several in your community, but there's part of me that can't help but feeling we're being a little micromanaging on people's property here and that we're just making much ado about nothing. And, you know, why have the government fix something that you control your own destiny on? You can fix your CCNRs. You can make them change. If you live in a gated community, you know, you can control your destiny within that gated community. You can change those CCNRs to make them, if you don't want that in your community. For my community, I look at that as these homes as some additional opportunity. We have a new Cub Stadium. We have a Robocom Stadium nearby. You know, there's people that use some of their condos for these vacation rentals. There's websites dedicated to this home swapping idea. I've stayed at them in other cities. I've gone and rented somebody's house and stayed there for a week with my family. And we had a great time. And, you know, I as for the health and safety stuff, you know, you know, I've lived in houses. I kind of know how to get out of them and get in them. I don't think that's as big an issue as is being made. You know, I think I know where I can find the front door if I got to exit a house. You know, I can check the linens to make sure they're clean. I can do my due diligence, but it should be on me. It shouldn't be on the government to have all this burden. So I'm going to support this. I'd just soon see it go forward, let it play out for the next year or so, see how it works. And if we need to make adjustments, we can make adjustments in the future.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Kavanaugh.
Well,
yeah, you want to...
Blue card, but I said I want to speak.
Okay. You want to speak before him or after him?
Oh,
okay. Yeah, well, you got to need to come up here and... Please come and sign in, please.
Okay. You've got my blue
card. And which... I'm sorry, you are...
Harry Blaker.
Okay, Mr. Blaker. Mr. Blaker, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Harry Blaker. I live at 9545 East Knoll Circle. I'm also a resident of Boulder Mountain, and I'm aware of the vacation rental homes in our neighborhood, the amount in the city, the state, the county, and so on. We've come here tonight because we feel this is moving a little quickly, and I'm on the board of directors. I'm not here representing them, obviously, because they're not here. So it sounds like it was brought as a zoning issue or a change, and to thwart that Carolyn has brought up the issues of safety and so on. And I don't want you in my house or in my neighborhood, the government. You know, I pay my fair share of taxes. The challenge for our neighborhood and the residents who purchased in this neighborhood are, once the door is opened for nightly rentals, you know, I frankly don't feel it's going to increase, you know, theft or safety, because I've used Vacation Rental by Owner, some of the nicest places I've stayed in the country were somebody else's home. But to push it through tonight based on zoning and it's too soon. The neighborhood isn't aware of it. A lot of the neighborhoods aren't aware of it. I don't have a big problem with it. I've used them. You know, I know the neighbors on my street. We've had some trouble with some of them, but those were, they're no more trouble than the other complaints I get, which are neighbor to neighbor, people that live there full time, people have lived there longer than me. So I feel the committee should table it or whatever the proceeding is to have more discussion as it relates to, you know, opening small businesses. And to answer your question, Mr. Luna, we are looking to change our CC&Rs to restrict this. Now, it requires 75% of the residency. And we can barely get 40 people out of 424 to vote for a council member, so, or a board member. So it's very challenging. Chances are it's not going to work. But from here forward, some of my neighbors that are here and the other people that know about this are gonna get the word out. So I would ask the city council to table it until further discussion can be had as to the impact of short-term rentals. I'm not saying it from the safety issue or tax collection. You know, more taxes for the city, the better, because I like smooth streets. But it's moved too fast, and not a lot of people know about it. And there are, like Carolyn said, there are many of these in the city. I don't have a problem with it. As long as they're paying their fair share of taxes, I think it's a great business. For our neighborhood, though, it's very close to home. So I appreciate you considering it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. And I thank the speakers, because I've been online as well, looking at the number of vacation rentals. Vacation rentals really certainly are a growth market in any area considered to be a tourist location, as we are. And I'm not opposed to the concept of renting your home as a vacation rental. I think it's a good thing. But we have a lot of examples of the rentals in the greater Phoenix area. There's even just 4,000 listings in this one for the greater Phoenix area. And actually in Mesa, it's hundreds of them are available. I like the idea of at least requiring the vacation rentals to register or license with the city to know where they are, and what they're doing. But I'd also like to have an ordinance that has some enforcement mechanisms in it when you have a bad apple, because the vast majority of vacation rentals are not a problem. I live in a condominium complex where there are vacation rentals, and I've lived there 30 years. There never has been an issue with it. Maybe it's because we're all old fogies like me, but it's old fogies can party too and be loud. But it's I think this needs a little bit more time. I am in favor of something like this ordinance, but I'd also like to, again, have a little bit more study on what the other communities in our area do, because it would be nice to have some uniformity among the various communities in terms of how they treat the vacation rentals, what sort of enforcement mechanisms we have in place to ensure that safety issues are met. So I would agree with Councilmember Luna that we should perhaps table this item.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Councilmember Glover.
Councilmember Luna's and Councilmember Kavanaugh's concerns. I'm just worried that we embrace this weak solution just to show action. I'm like, if we're going to do it, we really need to have teeth to this ordinance, and we don't want to have an unenforceable ordinance on our books. And our own staff said it earlier, it doesn't really have the teeth necessary to be enforceable. We can do some things, but not all things. So I would favor either tabling it or continuing it.
Councilmember Richens.
Well, I will note, after getting on the app real quick, the HomeAway app, it lists 269 houses in Mesa. So, Gordon, we have some work to do on but they're pretty easy to find. I mean, when they list them, I mean, that's the big website that everybody lists that kind of stuff on. So, but I understand. I mean, I'm not – if the majority of the council feels like they want to study a little bit longer, I just don't think that studying a little bit longer is going to make everybody feel better about themselves. I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. You know, I'm not going to be in favor of additional regulations on people's personal property. I just really have a hard time getting there. So, you know, that's to me what it's about. If, you know, if it gets a license and they pay it, you know, this is a personal property rights issue. I just, you know, this is the first time this has popped up in how many years in Mesa. And again, I just think we're kind of overblowing the real conditions, but.
Thank you. Any other comments? To me, this is a tough one because, we've been now talking about this for 2 years, and I've never heard a peep from anyone. I assume that there wasn't a huge problem, but you know, there's been some really good points raised tonight. And I think, on one hand, you have a zoning ordinance which states that these types of uses are not conforming uses, but on the other hand, you go online and yeah, there's 270 that are blatantly out there doing it, and they're doing it every day. But on the other hand, we don't hear hardly any complaints. Until Boulder Mountain, I really hadn't heard complaints from neighbors that this was a problem. And 140 square miles, that's probably not an overriding deal, but it is an issue that I can understand that. If we move forward and open the gate, I don't think that 500 people all of a sudden rush in and do this because they're doing it now anyway, even with the law. I'm not sure that law is preferable to no law. I just think it's sort of one of those catch-22s. I just sort of think it probably needs to be tweaked a little bit, and I would favor tweaking it so at least it's not an open-ended thing. I agree with Councilmember Richens. I do not want us to get in and have the police or the zoning police go around and start banging on doors based on internet listings because it's not a problem except for what we've heard tonight. If it were a problem, we certainly haven't heard about it. And so I think in some ways it's a solution looking for a problem. But I think there are things we could probably add to this that would make it give it a little bit more so it doesn't give carte blanche to someone who walks in. And I've been with those investors who will come in and say, yeah, sue me. And if you have the law, even if it's inadvertently on your side, it makes it very tough. Right now, at least, you can say you're not a conforming use. And whether it's a matter that you don't have enough to fight it, you can at least have something to fight it with on your own. You can pick your own fight. I don't want to put it in a situation where we take that right away from you to fight it. So, okay. Any other, Councilor Luna?
No, I would move that.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. Councilmember Summers, this is working again. But let me go.
I would move that we table the item until we get some more information.
There's already a motion on the second to approve. You can put a motion, Debbie. We can put a motion. Do we have to vote on this one first? I guess you have to vote on this one first because it.
You can
make a motion to table, and we'll vote on that, and then we'll vote on the motion that was.
Or, Mayor, the council can just agree to take this off the agenda so there will be no vote, and then we will have to reintroduce it after we.
Which is, but I think that's what Councilmember Luna has proposed.
Yeah.
So we'll have to vote on that to see whether to take a vote or not, and then go vote from there, okay? So we have a motion to table. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a second to that motion. Okay, so we have a motion to table item 6D. All in favor say aye.
Wait.
Because you have to. Well, you have to vote on the motion to table before you vote on the actual motion.
We just don't do that a lot.
Yeah. You follow what I'm saying?
As a matter of fact, this
because
is the
if
first
you voted
time.
On the motion, then the motion to table is a moot point. At any point in time, you can vote.
It seems to me like, you know, just reading the tea leaves here, that if the motion dies anyway, then if it loses anyway, doesn't it have the same effect?
No, because there are people who may say, I agree or disagree, but I want to act on it tonight. I don't want to defer it. That's what you're voting on now. Are we going to take action on this tonight, or are we going to defer it? You could have people who would say, I would prefer to take action tonight, but I'm going to vote for it. Or they could say, I'm going to take action tonight, but I vote against it. They also could say, yeah, I'm for this, but I really don't want to hear it tonight because I think maybe there are some things we could do.
I mean, I'm not going to fall on my sword over this issue. It's not that big a deal if we want to work it through some more. But just be it said, you know, I just don't think we need to over-regulate this issue, and I am going to support this, that eventually I presume it's going to come back, and, you know, it'll have some additional stuff on it, and so we're going to have to watch what that is. But, you know, this is... All right, I get what you're saying, but...
Okay, does that make sense? Maybe it doesn't make sense, but we're going to vote on the motion to table. We have a motion by Councilmember Luna, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. To table. All in favor... Like, can we vote on? Have you entered that in? We need to be able to do a voice vote. Okay, a first from Councilmember Luna, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Let's just do a voice vote on it, okay? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay. No.
Okay, let me see. I had nay, nay, nay. I had three nays. The ayes have it. The motion is item is tabled and continued. With the motion to table carries with the Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, and Councilmember Richens voting nay. Okay. Now, that being said, I think the discussion here is that I'm getting the feeling that the council and all the discussion we've had is that it's not a fatal flaw, that maybe there's one or two tweaks that need to be made to this, and then it will come back. Because we have talked about this, and I haven't heard a lot of disagreement that this should go forward. It's maybe just some of the things that came up tonight. And if I'm speaking out of turn, please let me know. So I don't want people to think this is a killing it, but maybe come back quickly with the one or two tweaks on it, and then we can reconsider
Mayor,
this. Okay?
Mayor, members of council, maybe one of the things we could do is, have we done a comparison? I noticed Scottsdale had 1,200 of these.
Yeah.
So have we looked at the other cities, and there we go. So why don't we bring back a couple of the other cities in the Valley that are, I mean, 1,200 in Scottsdale. I suspect there's quite a few in some of the other cities, and see what rules
they have. See what
they
do, if anything.
Yeah. So we'll let us do that research, then we'll bring it back in the study session, okay?
All righty.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda is items from citizens present. Deanne, do we have any requests to speak?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilman Kavanaugh, second from Councilman Summers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.